Good morning, guys. Well, this summer, my husband and I decided to go for a walk, and we went to Dunkeld and decided to do this walk along the River Tay. Now, we had never done it before, so we didn't know what to expect, but quite soon into the journey, we came across this beautiful old tree, and we were stopped in our tracks as we looked at this tree. There was a sign there that told us it was the Burnham sycamore tree and that it was estimated to be about 300 years old, and the trunk of that tree was 8 metres wide. It was huge. I imagined all of the people who had walked past that tree in the past, and I just thought to myself, oh, the stories that that tree could tell. But there was one thing that I really wanted to do. Can you guess? I really wanted to climb up that tree. Its branches were quite low, so it looked like I could do it. It looked like it was a pretty easy climb. But you know, when I saw that it was 300 years old, I just decided that I wouldn't try, because imagine I had snapped one of those 300-year-old branches. That would just be like the thing. But this old, beautiful tree got me thinking about someone else. I just couldn't stop thinking about Zacchaeus. Something about seeing that old sycamore tree and resisting the urge to climb it made the biblical story of Zacchaeus really come alive for me. I could just imagine him scaling up the tree to see Jesus. Now, the story of Zacchaeus is one that we really like to tell our kids. It's a good story. If you've been around church for a while, or if you were at church when you were little, you might even know that song, that Zacchaeus was a very little man, a very little man was he. I like that song. But ever since that day, a month or so ago, I have been thinking about Zacchaeus and wondering what God has to teach us all through his life and the encounter that he had with Jesus. Also, recently, I listened to some of John Mark Comer's teachings on hospitality, and so I was inspired. The only gospel that we find the story of Zacchaeus in is the Gospel of Luke. So let's read it in Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back 4 times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." What a great story. See, Jesus passes through Jericho, and this is one of the final stops that Jesus is going to make before he goes to Jerusalem before his crucifixion. Now, we don't know a lot about Zacchaeus. This is actually the only time that he is mentioned in the Bible. But this is what we are told about him. He was a chief tax collector. He was rich. He was short. He was a little guy. Well, nobody in the crowd liked Zacchaeus because he was a tax collector. And to add insult to injury, he was the chief tax collector. This explains why he was rich. Tax collectors were hated because they were Jews who worked for the Roman government. They were seen as traitors of their own people. Back in the Roman Empire times, the Roman Empire would demand taxes from the nations that they ruled. So the Roman government would sell the right to someone to collect taxes for a particular region. That person would go and get the money of the citizens of that area. The problem was that they were notorious for being greedy and collecting the taxes. They collected the taxes, but after that, they took a profit for themselves. And if the citizens were unable to pay the taxes, they acted as loan sharks, collecting the interest from these loans to pay the taxes and lining their own pockets. You can understand why they were hated and despised. Zacchaeus was supposed to be one of the Jews, but he had betrayed them. He was probably actually benefiting from their suffering and from the suffering of his fellow Jews. And so tax collectors were not welcome to worship in the synagogues. And they were not welcome to fellowship with their brothers and sisters. They were outcasts in that society. In his book, The Arrogance of the Nations, Neil Elliott quotes from Philo, a first century Alexandrian philosopher. He said this about the tax collectors of that time. The Romans had intentionally appointed as tax gatherers the most ruthless of men, brimful of inhumanity, and put into their hands resources for overreaching. Their own natural inhumanity was magnified by the immunity they received from their masters. This may begin to change your thinking about what kind of man Zacchaeus actually was. We might start to shift our thoughts from that little cartoon you may have seen when you were young of that funny little man running and climbing up a tree to this real ruthless individual. We learn this about Zacchaeus in this story though. He was really desperate to see Jesus. He wanted to get a glimpse of him. Zacchaeus had obviously heard all about him and this was his chance. But because he was short, and also, we've learned, not the most popular, there was no chance that he was going to get to the front of the crowds. He really wanted to see the Messiah, though. And so we learn something quite shocking. And even more shocking for these times, he ran. Middle Eastern men did not run. It would have been considered shameful to do so. He also climbed a tree. Now, even in today's culture, tree climbing is seen as something that children might do. Imagine for a second the infamous Zacchaeus running and climbing a tree. What would that have looked like? Well, he'd probably have been dressed in a tunic and an expensive one at that. So running and climbing a tree would have actually been a bit problematic for Zacchaeus. He was acting foolishly. And I can only imagine what the crowd would have thought. I'm sure that they would have been laughing and making fun of him. It reminded me about this time when we took the three boys to Disneyland Paris and they were really young. And we actually were standing at the front of the queue for the park to open. But when the gates were opened, everyone began to run. Now, our kids were little and there were grown men and women who were pushing past them. Somebody even fell beside us because they were so desperate to get through. They really, really must have wanted to get on that Finding Nemo ride. That was the ride everyone wanted to get on. My husband just looked at each other and we shook our heads. We were shocked at the desperation. Perhaps it looked something like that when Zacchaeus was running. Anyway, we see that Zacchaeus was really desperate to see Jesus and he didn't mind looking a fool to do so. And then Jesus walks past, and much to the shock and disgust of the crowd, he notices Zacchaeus. In Luke 19, verses 5 to 6, it says this, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. This was so shocking. Of all the people to point out, notice, and publicly call by name, Jesus picked Zacchaeus. And I can totally understand where the people were coming from and why they were displeased. They were raging. Doesn't Jesus know who Zacchaeus is or what he's done? Jesus has a habit of ruffling feathers in doing this though. We read in Luke 5 verse 30, says this, "But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with such scum?'" Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house for dinner. Think about it. Do you think that Zacchaeus had many friends? Probably not. So this is a big deal, and Zacchaeus is both excited and delighted. Remember too, in that culture, it would have been a real honour to be the one to host Jesus. Perhaps other people had already made plans to do that. But Jesus picks Zacchaeus to be his friend. It's him he wants to hang out with and eat with, and it's his table that he wants to sit around. Now, eating together in that culture was also a sign of acceptance. Eating together symbolised a significant relationship, so it was generally reserved for those of similar or higher social standing. Imagine the crowd's reaction. Jesus is not doing what everyone thought he should do. Jesus is again inviting someone into the kingdom that the people did not think was worthy. They thought he was undeserving of this grace, which he was, as they were too, and as are we. Who do we see as an outcast? Who is at the bottom of our rung? Who is it that we are prejudiced against, or perhaps just uncomfortable around? Are there some people that we just avoid? To Jewish people in Jericho, Zacchaeus is probably the last person that they thought would have followed Jesus so wholeheartedly. From the outside, they probably deemed him a lost cause. But Jesus didn't seem to take notice of what the crowd thought about Zacchaeus. Jesus saw past what they saw. What happened next? Luke 8:19-9. "Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, 'I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much.' Jesus responded, 'Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost.'" Zacchaeus meets Jesus and receives grace and salvation. What results is a contrite heart and true repentance. There is a complete change of heart for Zacchaeus. He is immediately changed, and because of his love for Jesus, he is becoming a new person. He has received such great generosity from Jesus, and in turn, he decides to give half of all his wealth to the poor. That is generous. 50% of everything that he had, and he had a lot, he gives away. He also pledges to give back to anyone that he has cheated four times the amount that he took. This is a total turnaround, and it is evidence of the fact that salvation has come to that house. Who is invited into the kingdom of God? The answer is everyone. And what can we learn from Jesus here in this story? Well, in the book Rediscovering the Lord's Supper by Marcus Barth, he says this: in approximately one-fifth of the sentences in Luke's Gospel and in Acts, meals play a conspicuous role. Luke 7:34 says this: "The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners." Jesus dines with sinners. This is something Jesus loves to do. It's a key part of his ministry. He chooses to seek people out. He tells us about his mission at the end of these verses that we've read in Luke today. Jesus says this about himself: "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." He sits with them. He sits with people and he shares meals with them, serving them. He is feeding their physical hunger, but also their spiritual hunger, healing them and saving them. People were transformed when they were invited and welcomed to spend time with him. There is something special that happens as people gather around a table. the dinner table is something that to many of you may seem really ordinary and really simple, but God uses these ordinary things for kingdom breakthrough. Round a table, people can look into each other's eyes, sharing stories and life with the people that are gathered there. In the book of Acts, this is a key way the good news spread from table to table, from household to household. Who is invited to your table? Usually the people that you may invite over for a meal are your friends and family, or perhaps you invite people who think the same as you. Maybe people who have the same political persuasion or similar views or the same religion. There is also a kind of unspoken code too. We invite you to tea and then you invite us back. But radical kingdom hospitality isn't like that. What would happen if you opened up your life to the people that God has put around you? Neighbours, mums at school gates, fellow students, co-walkers, dog walkers, gym people, I don't know, the list goes on. Now, I have some friends who definitely have a real gift when it comes to presentation and cooking. All their plates match and they are fabulous cooks. And they even manage to have these Instagrammable tables. You may look at people like that and disqualify yourself from this immediately. But although I do believe that beautiful presentation and wonderful cooking is a gift, and if you have that gift, bless you, use it. But if you don't, it is not a disqualification from what I am talking about today. People are not actually looking for perfection, but they're looking for an invitation. What did Jesus have? Well, he didn't even have a home. And I certainly don't think he carried around matching napkins. He was a single man, but he was so full of love and compassion for people. He served them so beautifully, whether he was the host or being hosted. Ultimately, he brought hope and salvation and is the light in the darkness. He cared and went out of his way to spend time with people, and these seemingly small acts brought salvation. Now, we are emerging out of 18 months of restrictions and lockdowns, a time whether we wanted to or not, we were not able to gather in traditional ways. It has been a deep time of loneliness for so many. But we are made for community and connection. Right now, I believe that people are so hungry for this. God tells us what his heart is for the lonely in Psalm 68:6. He says this, God places the lonely in families. Think about how you can notice people and go out of your way to invite them into your life. Whether it's a cup of tea in the garden, a walk with a coffee, or a meal around your table. When you invest and spend time with people, you can have conversations about your life and who you are. You can tell them about what God has done and is doing. And in turn, you can listen to their stories and discover about their lives. Not just befriending people as some kind of project, but seeing each person as valuable, created in God's image and worthy of his love. The table is a place of inclusion where we are fully present for someone else. A place where we stop. We are not rushing. A place where we put our phones away and we allow space for people to share. A place where strangers become friends and friends become family. I heard this week of someone in our church offering to start a book club with a neighbour after just having a conversation in a street. He kind of invited himself into that person's life like Jesus did here in this story. You, like Jesus, might not have a home or a place that you can meet, but you could meet in a coffee shop or someone else's home or the street or a garden. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you opportunities and show you how you can open up your life to those around you. You guys are so creative, and this is not prescriptive. Use your God-given imaginations and gifts. I think back to a time where we had a huge difference of opinion with some of our friends. We wondered if that would be the end of our friendship. We invited them round for dinner, and I was so nervous. At one point in the meal, one of our friends graciously said, "Well, let's just address the elephant in the room." My heart was thumping. He said, "I don't understand where you are coming from, but I know that you love me." There were tears in everyone's eyes, and we all looked at each other, and we felt true love and grace, both ways. This goes against all the division we see all around us. We do not have to be the same or think the same to be in deep relationships with people. There is something so special that happens with those people who sit at the same table. Remember, all are invited into the kingdom of God, and it is not our job to qualify or disqualify based on what we see on the outside. I really would love for us to spend some time today asking God who He would like us to invite into our lives this week. Who can we make time for? Who can we make room for in our homes or in our lives? How can we serve them where we're at? How can we make sure to care for their physical needs? How can we care for their spiritual needs, listening to their stories and sharing the hope that we have in Christ? You know, we serve a hospitable God. In Isaiah 25, verse 6, it says this: "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines." All throughout the Bible, there are stories of people who don't believe in God meeting Him and having encounters with Him because of both Jesus and His followers' hospitality. Jesus was constantly going to parties and feasting with all different kinds of people. The early church met daily in people's homes, and people were constantly joining them. We are invited to be part of this biblical hospitality. Now, in a time where we are rediscovering what it means to be part of a church without walls, I believe that this is key. We should embrace this and perhaps even pick it up for the first time if this has not been something that has been part of your life. So the challenge today is to look up and notice who God has put around you and start inviting.